Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers, but first, a bit of comic book news. I don't have a ton of news this week, but I have a couple of things. First of all, Image has revealed that they are going to be releasing the Walking Dead 20th Anniversary box sets. These sound pretty great. They're going to be releasing in October, the first set, that is. And yeah, it's going to be four box sets total and is going to cover basically the entire run. So I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I think we all read The Walking Dead at some point, so definitely something to pick up if that's something you would be interested in having. Next up is a bit of Distillery news. Distillery has announced a new comic from Mirka and Dolfo, and this is going to be called Blasphemous, a playoff Blasphemous. We have a preview of it up on CBR, but it could be available other places. I think this looks great. I love Mirka's work, so it's definitely something I'm really going to enjoy. It definitely seems to be spinning off of the one shot in the big collection, so something I really am waiting for, and I think it's going to be really cool. So very happy to see that story continue. After that, CBR has an exclusive excerpt from Let Me Out, a new story from Emmett Nihil and George Williams from Oni Press. It's going to be a queer horror story. And I'm not going to talk a ton about it. It's coming out this month, and it looks really, really cool. I really like the look of it, and I think it's a really great idea. Something I will definitely be picking up, but I wanted to put it on your guys' radar. Once again, Let Me Out from Emmett Nihil and George Williams and Oni Press. And my final bit of news, very small news section. As I said, Marvel has released a tarot card deck that is really, really cool looking. I really like it. It is the full 78 card tarot deck, and it is on sale now. I might get this. I think that'd be really cool to have on hand. I think it would worry some of my more religious relatives, but I don't really care. So, but yeah, I honestly, I think it's a really interesting idea. And it's on sale right now, so pick it up wherever you would like to. And if you do pick it up, let me know what you think of it. With that said, we're going to start talking about some comic books. However, before we get into the publishers, I have a very special preview that I have to be very spoiler light on. We will get some information about this later this week, but there is a very secret David Brewer and Drew Zucker horror project coming soon. Those fans of the show know that we absolutely love the two of them because Canto is one of our favorite books. But this is very much embargoed, and I'm not able to give you all the details. So I'll tell you what I can by literally reading the press release on their website. Something Wicked This Way comes for the first time since 2019. The team behind the hit series Canto reunites for something new and decidedly more sinister. Along with Join Eisner nominated and Remy winner, by the way, David Brewer, and fan favorite artist, also Remy winner, Drew Zucker, along with Canto colorist Vittorio Ostone and letter and world for a twisted new one-shot horror story that you'll have to read to believe. Sign up on Zoop to get notified and kick off the spooky season this October. So once again, at Zoop, ZOOP.GG, I will put the link of this in the actual feed for this this episode on Twitter. So make sure to check it out on there. And yeah, as someone who's already got my hands on it and who can't tell you anything yet, I definitely think it's something you're going to want to read. So check it out if you get a chance. With that being said, let's start with comics. And of course, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios is where we're going to start. And I got four books from Boom this week. And the first is a surprise return, which is Stuff of Nightmares. This is the book that was recently, I think it was a 5-issue mini from R.L. Stein. Well, now we're back with a one shot. And I love it. I think it's really cool. And it looks like there's going to be more. So as far as this one goes, created and written by R.L. Stein, illustrated by Adam Gorham, colored by Francesco Sagala with assistance by Gloria Martinelli, and lettered by Jim Campbell. This is a slasher thriller with a cool, like crazy edge to it. It does appear to be a one shot because it all gets resolved in one issue. And it definitely was twisty. you don't see the end coming. Like there's only a certain amount of possibilities, but none of them are so abundantly that's the answer that it really got me. I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. And as we're just launching in October, expect more spooky books like this for the month from us. But very well done. I appreciate it. And you all should check it out. After that is Alice Never After, number 3. Written by Dan Panosian. London illustration by Dan Panosian. Wonderland illustration by Giorgio Spoleta with Cyril Glerum. Color by Francisco Segala with Gloria Martinelli. And letter by Jeff Eckelberry. So we are continuing the story here in that Alice is just having this horrible time in Wonderland. Now all the residents are expecting her to take a husband. There needs to be a king. And of course, none of the actual options are really, you know, presentable. So that's a really interesting. I really like that. But there's also a big revelation about what's going on in the real world. And there's a really interesting possibility here. There's something going on. And I'm very curious about the revelations and how this is going to impact all the people in the real world. So very good issue. I like how much it's progressing the story. And I've loved this run as much as I love the original. So very, very good. And definitely pick it up. After that is the finale, Creed, The Next Round, number 4. Creative direction by Michael B. Jordan, written by LaToya Morgan and Hy Jameson. Art by Paris Aline, Gab Contreras, Lee Caballero, Wilton Santos, and DJ Chavez, with letters by Ant World Design. And yeah, this is the final issue. It comes down to it where basically the two fighters are going to be in the same tournament, and the idea is like, ideally, you know, it's going to be Creed versus Pierce in the final. And of course, because this is a movie, it's a comic book, but it's also a movie. And that's the way it is. And this is a really well-written boxing match. I think it's really cool. I think the training is reflected really well in what actually happens. And I just found myself really enjoying the characters. And also, this sets up a really cool future for the Creed franchise, for things to happen. So great companion to the movies. I'll set it every issue, but if you are a fan of the movies, this is something for you to pick up, and I think you would really enjoy it. So, and my final boom book of the week is The Expanse, Dragon Tooth, number 5. This one is written by Andy Diggle, illustrated by Francisco Pisa, color by Roland Angulo, and letter by Pat Brasseau. With the events of the last issue, the Rocinante team kind of feel like that their problems have been solved. Their enemy is gone, but they don't know, of course, that they've been tricked. So now they're kind of like doing peaceful things, doing their own thing. And that involves hanging out with an old friend, which I really, really enjoy because I'm just such a big Expanse fan. I really, really like it. And yeah, just to see LV come back and Faez, honestly, both of them, just to see them pop back up and just to see them interact again. I loved in the books when older characters came back and interacted. I remember specifically there is one moment where Praxitike comes back for like one chapter and he has such a big impact and he doesn't even interact with the other canon characters. But I just love that the Expanse is a universe and that's really cool. So yeah, I'm really loving this run. I cannot wait for my Kickstarter version of the book. I can't wait for that to come in. And I really appreciate the fact that I get each floppy as it comes out digitally. Even though I'm going to buy it anyways, it's really cool that they did that as part of the Kickstarter. So very good. Expanse good. Everybody should read it. Everybody should watch it. It's fantastic. Now let's move on. We're going to talk about our next publisher, which is IDW Publishings. And I got only the one book this week. That is Bryn Mawr, number 3. In the last one, we did see that our protagonist has opened this, you know, this, I guess, Pandora's box is the way to say it. Written by Steve Niles, art by Damian Worm, art assistance by Alicia Zerno, and letter by Taylor Esposito. And we get to find out more about, like, the origins of his family with the island and why they seemingly have control on the island but are also disliked in the island. And it makes sense. It's told really, really well. And we do get to see the full confirmation of, yes, this is going to be a supernatural thriller. There's going to be a very serious threat here. And of course, it ups the stakes with his daughter arriving. And so I'm really liking this. I think it's really cool. It's so visually dark, too. Like, I had to switch. I remember because I was laying in bed reading comics, and I had to kind of roll over so the light was on the comic so I could read it, because it was visually very dark. But it's very, very cool. And again, once again, we're in Halloween, so bring me more spooky stuff. With that said, we're going to go ahead and move on, and I'm going to talk about Titan Comics. And of course, I only have the one book for Titan this week, but you better believe it's Conan the Barbarian, number 3. This one is, of course, written by Jim Zub, art by Rob Delator, color by Dean White, and letter by Richard Starkings. So basically Conan and Brisa get to the point where they're catching up with the bad guys, and they're discovering their evil plan. And it's time to actually confront them. And I really like the way it's done. They end up rescuing some of the other warriors, and they all kind of like fall in under Conan. So he has this cool little strike force, and he makes Brisa leave and take the wounded and everything away. And yeah, they have a fight. It's a really cool fight. It's a very Conan fight, you know, fighting evil priests and shit like that. Magic, you know, curses going on. It's really, really cool. And of course, it doesn't seem like everybody's going to make it out. But yeah, it leaves in a pretty high note and on a cliffhanger. So I can't obviously judge the scene as a whole until I get that. But I mean, it's been a great series so far. I really appreciate the new life that this is breathing into classic Conan. So yeah, it's a definite recommendation for me that everybody should be reading Conan the Barbarian from Titan, because I think it's really good. I love the art. It's a very classic art. And I love Jim Zub. Jim Zub, when he reads fantasy, is always a win to me. So definitely worth a pickup for everybody. You should pick it up right now. And next, we are moving on already. We're going to move on to Dark Horse Comics. I got 2 books this week. The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos, a.k.a. Top Lock. Based on an idea by James Tynion IV. Script by Tate Brumbull. Art by Isaac Goodart. Color by Michael Muerto. And letter by Aditya Bidikar. After the events of the last issue, the three kids are kind of like on completely different pages with what they want to do, what they feel they need to do. And so instead of banding together, they kind of split up. And this issue is about them finding what they need to do, finding their motivations, finding their true selves, and realizing that they do need each other. They do need to work together. I thought it was a really good issue. It's a really great issue for character development, especially because I think it's the one thing I've been wanting more for this series, is just a little bit more time to breathe with these characters. And this issue was just perfect for that. So very well done. Yeah, I really like this book. It's been really, really great. And it ends on a how do I put this? It ends on a really cool note that I'm curious to see where we're gonna go from here and how this series is gonna continue as far as like the kids' lives, as the day to day, how it's gonna be impacted. But very good. Really, really enjoyed it. So thumbs up. And finally, the finale, Masquerade number 8. Written by Kevin Smith and Andy McElfresh. Art by Julia Giulazzi. Colors by Julia Brusco and John Springlemeyer. And letters by Andrew Thomas. Oh boy. Okay, so it's finally here, the final issue. And the whole thing has been like this very graphic, very violent end that she has planned for these bad people that did these things to her. And part of us have been like, is this going to happen? Is this really going to happen? Or is it not? Is she going to get like a conscience at the last minute? Cause that's how we think of stories, right? As people. And no, no, she goes through with it, and it's brutal, but it's also like, she doesn't really have a plan seemingly to make it out herself. And that's obvious. I mean, how do you live after all that with all the trauma that she's had inflicted to her, which I think is really great. But spoiler alert, she does make it out. And then I thought, okay, that's the cool twist and where we're going to go from here. And then we get a shock that I'm not going to spoil for you. but is literally a page later and something that I did not expect to happen. And I love, because it really, like, it really sets up potential future stories, even if there are none from this world. It does a great job of really setting some hooks. And so, yeah, I'm all here for this. I thought it wrapped up really well. And it, like I said, it sets up such potential for the future. There's so much you can do with this from this point forward, with so much of a clean slate, but also with baggage, like, if that makes sense. So Masquerade number 8, great. Pick up the trade. You won't regret it. And now Image Comic Books is my next publisher. And we got a couple, very small Image Week this week. And considering, especially my first one, Love Everlasting 10, didn't come out this week. I just got it this week because I wasn't able to get it before. Written by Tom King, art by Elsa Charretier, color by Matt Hollingsworth, and letter by Clayton Cowles. God, this issue is probably the most heart-wrenching issue so far. It's just, it's so sad. And it really kind of messed with me a bit, but in a good way. I'm not going to say anything negative. I thought it really plucked at the emotions correctly, but it was pretty emotional for me. I had to take a break from reading comics after this one because it just hits several key things that really set me off emotionally. And so I think it really did a great job and accomplished its goal. It really reemphasizes the vicious circle that she's caught in. And also, I love the idea that she's no longer playing. And I just love that. It's so cool. And it makes the future of this book going to be so amazing. So Love Everlasting is 100% worth the purchase. You should already be reading it. But if you somehow are not, you should be reading it. Just pick it up. You will like it. Next up is The Dead Lucky, number 9. This one, of course, is written by Melissa Flores, art by French Carlomagno, color by Mattia Iocono, and letter by Becca Carey. Not going to go too deeply into this. BB does make it back to San Francisco, and very first thing that happens is, you know, trouble at home. She's definitely not confident with her partnership at this point, and that leads to a really big conflict that comes up. And that we're kind of left on a cliffhanger for it. So that's why I'm not going to jump too much into it. But very fun. I love Dead Lucky. It's so good. My final Image book of the week is What's the Furthest Place from Here? Number 14. Written by Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg. Letter by Hassan Atsmani Alhau with colors by Roman Titov and Shai Cheeks. Oh, man. Sid, what have you gotten yourself into now? So this is one of those issues where it's like there's something going on, but there's also like an out clause where we could probably say that none of this actually happened the way we thought it did. Long story short, Sid takes some mushrooms and starts tripping balls, and the visuals are absolutely incredible. I really, really like them. But also, like, a lot happens here that could be a hallucination. It could be real. It could be anything. So I really like it. I thought it was great. We're getting somewhere. We're really getting somewhere, I think. So we'll see. But man, what a great issue. What a weird issue. It's just tripped me out hard. But definitely, I mean, again, this book is so good, guys. Like, it's just a trip. It's one of my Image big recommendations. And I really wish the limited editions didn't go so quick. So, all right, next up is DC Comics. Got a big DC week this week, so let's go in. Static Shadows of Dakota, number 6. This one is mostly, it's a lot of it is a conversation between Static and Evan and making a deal and trying to get on the same page. And I really like it. There's so much great imagery in this one. And there's so much playing with Virgil being the light versus Evan's darkness, like visually, that I thought was really, really cool. And there's a lot of context when they're discussing when one of them has the advantage over the other, that level of light really shines through. And I really, really think that's really cool. Obviously, creative team is written by Nicholas Draper Ivy and Vida Ayala, with art by Nicholas Draper Ivy and letters by Ann World. But yeah, there is one issue left in this run. It's been a really great run. I really like Static. The first volume and this volume both been really good. And if you're an old Static Shock fan, definitely pick it up. Next up is Spirit World number 5, another penultimate issue. Unfortunately, because this book has been great. I did not know it was going to be a mini. I found out when I read this issue. So let's see what we got. Of course, the creative team is written by Alyssa Wong, drawn by Haning, colored by Sebastian Chang, and letter by Steve Wants. There's a really great moment where Xanth has to kind of like stand on their own against Constantine and Cass, so the best martial artist in the world and one of the best sorcerers in the world. And I think that's really cool because there's definitely an argument to be made by people who want to make an argument that Xanth is kind of being carried through their own book. But I think that moment was very important to Xanth. I think it helped out. We get to see this mysterious like court in stark relief. We get to see them, and the character designs are incredible. I really, really enjoy them. And they're so twisted and just messed up and really, really good. I really like it. I'm very sad this is going to end, and I really hope Xanth gets used elsewhere. So, but otherwise, it's been great. It's only a 6-issue mini. It's not too late for you to jump on. Speaking of minis, Tales of the Titans, number 3 of 4, yet another penultimate issue for a mini series for me. This one is based around Donna Troy. And before we jump into the story, let me share a little bit about my experience with Donna Troy. And promise, stick with me. Don't just stick with what I say first. I never liked Donna Troy. I was always a Cassie person. I always thought Donna was like the most annoying Teen Titan. I didn't see anything special about her. There was a lot going on there. So that said, I never count a character out, and I always know a character is only as interesting as the person writing them and the person drawing them, and you know, so obviously I always give characters a try. I really liked this issue, and this is one of my favorite Donna Troy stories, I think. So written by Steve Orlando, art by Kath Lowe and Bob Quinn, colors by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Rob Lay. I like this feeling of her being this almost like this international relief hero. I really enjoy it. There's so much great art, so many great moments, just these badass moments of her just being just, yeah, in your face and unapologetic. Really, really cool. Really enjoyed that. And yeah, I just thought it was really cool. And having Vixen as a guest star, which I thought was really cool because, once again, I'm not a Vixen fan. I never really liked Vixen all that much. So the great story with the two of them that I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought it was really well done. I do like that they tied it into the Titans at the end, because I was kind of worrying or wondering, how is this about her in the Titans? Because that's kind of like what the other two have been about. So they did a pretty good job of bringing that around. So yeah, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you are like me and you're a Donna Troy hater, this is a great place to start loving her. So after that is, you guessed it, another penultimate issue. That's 4 in a row, people. Wildcats number 11. Now this one hurts because I am a huge Wildcats fan, and I've really, really appreciated this run so far. And obviously this was a planned 12 issue mini, so it's not like it got canceled or anything like that. It's just this was the story they're going to tell, but I do hope we get to revisit these characters with this creative team again. Speaking of that creative team, written by Matt Rosenberg, drawn by Steven Segovia, Danny Kim, and Tom Derenick, colored by Elmer Santos, and letter by Farron Delgado. Yeah, this is a really great penultimate issue because everything kind of comes together that's been bubbling up for the entire series. All these different sides that are not necessarily like ever on the same page. There's more than two sides to the conflict, including like your typical heroes, your Batmans and stuff. And just seeing Grifter and his crew just kind of like play the two sides against each other for their own benefit. I think that's kind of the best of these characters. I really like it. And yeah, again, I cannot stress enough how much I hope these characters come back. because I really love them. Obviously, I'm loving Z over in Birds of Prey, but the rest of them deserve some spotlight too. So, yep, we'll be back with the next issue for the finale and talk about it further. After that is Harley Quinn, number 32, written by Teenie Howard, art and colors by Sweeney Boo, and letter by Steve Wands. We get back, now that Night Terrors is over, we get back into the multiversal wackiness that Harley is face deep in right now. And that includes going on a trip with Agent Quark, which is really fun. And it ends up being Harley and her students going together. I thought this was a fun dynamic. It added an interesting story to it all. And I love Harley as a teacher. I think that's the highlight of this run for me has been Harley being a teacher and having these students that genuinely seem to like her and actually pay attention to her. And I think that's really actually important to her. I think that's something that really touches her, even if it's not expressly stated over and over. I think that's something that she really appreciates. So I love this run. It's been very fun. So make sure to pick it up as well. Next up is Green Arrow number 4. Oh boy. I love this run so much. Written by Joshua Williamson. Art by Sean Exauce. Interior and color covers by Romeo Fardo Jr. Letter by Troy Pateri. We get to see Oliver kind of confronted with Parallax. Or is it Parallax? Is it not? It's a very interesting bit. But then we also get to, you know, we check in with a lot of different characters. We fast forward in the future. We get to see, you know, the Legion and Brainiac. And I love Brainiac. I love when Brainiac, someone gets over on Brainiac. It's always very funny. So, but yeah, this has been a really great run leading up to the idea that he can't go home. And I'm wondering how much longer it's going to go on. What the end game of this is. It's really, really good. But part of me just really wants Oliver to be home. But I know in comics, you can't just make characters happy. That doesn't sell comics, not long term, at least. But yeah, I'm getting that feeling. I want the reunion. I want them to be happy. I want them to have a movie night and then drop a big bad guy on them. So, but yeah, really, really cool. Oh, and also I have to mention, of course, that Roy is great in this. Roy really it might be the highlight of this run. Just because of how badass he is and how willing he is to do what he needs to do, including reunite with an old friend, I will say. So very good. And yeah, I love Green Arrow. One of my favorite DC characters anyway. So after that is Detective Comics 1074. So this one is in the aftermath of everything that happened with the last big event. Bruce is kind of out of control, we'll say. Written by Rom V, penciled by Dustin Nguyen, color by John Calise, and letter by Ariana Mayer. The story isn't told from Bruce's point of view. It's told from the point of view of a police officer who is in charge of trying to find him. And he's basically chasing Bruce through all these different locations. And we get to see the significance of these locations to Bruce. And that's the whole key, is going to places that are significant to him. And so we get these really cool flashback moments of Bruce, which I really appreciate. Too many writers, when they flashback Bruce's early life, they focus on the real grim shit. And there's a couple really cute moments here, including a moment with Bruce and his father that I really liked. I thought it was really cool. So it adds a bit of flavor to the character. But very, very good. Enjoying that so much. After that is Action Comics number 1057. So Action Comics 1057. This one is written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Rafa Sandoval, color by Matt Herms, and letter by Dave Sharp. First of all, it opens up with a quintessentially amazing Superman opening, which is him just an everyman moment that I really appreciated. I love that. That's what Superman is to me, like in encapsulated. But then we do find out that Clark has scored a interview with the head of the whole organization he's been fighting against this entire time. He's going to be fighting, or he's going to be interviewing the head of Blue Earth, and only Clark can do it. That's the one they'll allow. And we meet the new head, and she's a cute young girl who's kind of gothy, and like takes him back, and they have this interview, and it's really interesting. There's like definitely some very carefully chosen words. There's definitely a verbal struggle between the two of them that are really appreciated. And with this revelation, I'm curious to see what this is going to mean for the future of Blue Earth, what role they're going to play in the conflict. Yeah, because they've been built up for a while now. And yeah, I want to know. But it's definitely has me hooked. All the Superman books right now are so good. And as someone who never liked Superman, I'm very happy to say that. So now we're going to wrap up with three number ones. Let's start with Power Girl, number one. I love Power Girl so much. Written by Leah Williams, penciled by Eduardo Panceca, inked by Julio Ferreira, colored by Romulo Ferrer Jr., and lettered by Becca Carey. I love Power Girl. I'm glad she has her own book again. And she's just a badass. I love the way that she's been written. Of course, it's Leah Williams is writing her again. And Leah, I think, has just done such a great job of making Power Girl her own. And, you know, kind of like planting her flag. And so now when they need a Power Girl story, they can turn to Leah. Leah has such a good grip on the character. So very, very cool. I really like this one. Like I said, it's about her establishing her new identity as Paige. Because it's a writer coming from the other stories, she keeps the things that she worked on before. So that's kind of my weird way of saying that Omen's around still. And I love Omen. Giving her a supporting character is really cool. I also like to see the kind of tension between Clark and Power Girl and what's going to happen there, and setting up a specific threat for specifically her to handle. So very good. I really like it. I'm in. I'm subbing. Let's get it going. After that is Flash, number one. Yet another number one. This one is... It's such a good start for a new run of Flash, is what I will say. So first, the creative team. Written by Cy Spurrier. Art by Mike Diodato Jr. Colors by Trish Mulvihill. And letter by Hassan Atsmani El-Haw. I want to start by saying, like, just as a personal thing, I really appreciate the fact that they open with Max Mercury and Impulse, because that was my favorite run of any Flash comic, was that Impulse solo run with Max Mercury trying to teach him. I loved it. So it's great to see them together in that story. And I love that we're kind of checking in with a lot of different things going on, a lot of different characters. We're kind of touching on every aspect of it. And I love what they're doing with Linda. It's such an interesting angle to approach Linda from, and the far-reaching implications from it could be so many different things. So it really opens up the possibilities, and something I really want to see develop. That's probably the big hook for me, was the Linda stuff. It's just like, how do you cope with the fact that you used to be a part of this superhero world and now you're not, and now you're just Linda? And that's really interesting, and it's going to be quite a ride, I think, but I'm on the ride for it. And finally, Batman, Catwoman, The Gotham War, Red Hood. Obviously, I'll just spoil this for you. I love this book because I am the biggest Red Hood fan besides producer Liz. So, spoilers, I loved it. Written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Nicholas Zmeja, color by Rex Locus, letter by Troy Pateri. I do love the fact that Red Hood is in this civil war where it's like, choose your sides, you know. There's like this guy, Jason, who's just kind of playing both and kind of just doing what he needs to do for his own goals. I do love when you do a civil war type of story that characters aren't just 100% behind one person. And Jason's the perfect person to be like, listen, I agree with you sometimes, and you're full of shit sometimes. So I really like that. This definitely deals with the fact that Jason is helping Catwoman with her plan to reform crime in Gotham. And he does it, but I mean, he doesn't do it just to help her. It's really good. It's a great development in the overall arc. So definitely something, if you're reading the rest of it, I would pick up. If you're a big Red Hood fan, I'd pick up. Either way, I think you would really enjoy it. So thumbs up from me. And finally, let's talk about Marvel. Couple books here. Let's start with Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, number 36, written by Alyssa Wong, art by Minkyu Jung and Jethro Morales, color by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Joe Caramagna. We're continuing the Dark Droids crossover, and in this case, Aphra and Lucky are working together to fight these out-of-control droids and figure out what's going on. We keep getting flashes to Leia, too, which I think is really interesting to have that in the Aphra book, and wondering how that's going to play out long-term, if Leia's going to be popping up in this book. We also get a lot more information about Domina, about how, like, they're going to be speaking with Domina again and what's going to happen there. I think it's really cool. And we get to see Leia and this special elite force. Again, that's how I think it's going to tie in, but I don't know how it's going to tie back to Aphra. But one way or the other, it's going to be really good. So definitely something I love. Obviously, I love Dr. Aphra, and you should all read it. Next up is Miracle Man, The Silver Age, number 6. Written by Neil Gaiman, co-written and drawn by Mark Buckingham, colored by Jordi Belair, and letter by Todd Klein. In this issue, we jump back. It's funny reviewing a comic that I read a long time ago, but just remade. We jump back into Dickie's childhood. And it's grim. It can be really dark and very upsetting, but it's really well told. I think it's just a really, really well told story. And we're building up to this reunion between Miracle Man and Dickie, and we are going to be going to that in the next issue, which seems to be the finale. So I really like it. Everybody should be reading this. If you haven't read Miracle Man the first time around, this is the time to catch up, because it's really one of the better comic stories told in a long time. So definitely something I would recommend. After that is Marvel Unleashed, number 2. Written by Kyle Starks, art by Jesus Hervas, colored by Ian Nitro, and letter by Joe Caramagna. So the pet Avengers unite, and they're dragged to go fight Blackheart. And they need some backup. And who do they get? They get two bits of backup. They get Bats, Doctor Strange's ghost dog, who is fantastic, but they also get my boy Throg, the Thunder Frog. I love Throg. We stand Throg in this show. So I love it. I love the Pet Avengers. They're so wacky and great. And I love D-Dog. The addition of D-Dog has been so fun, and I cannot wait to see what's coming of it. So great. Good stuff. After that is Moon Knight, City of the Dead, number 3. This one is written by David Popoz, penciled by Sean Damien Hill, inked by Jay Leiston, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and lettered by Corey Petit. So Layla, in the last issue, Layla seemingly abandoned Moon Knight to his fate. However, of course, it was a ruse all along. And of course, the two of them were so in sync that it's just something that they can do instinctively, is work together to do these things. And it was really cool. They execute their plan to save the kid, who we find on this issue is not just the kid. And it's actually a very important plot point. So that's what leads Moon Knight to do something, rash, and seemingly is going to sacrifice himself so the others can survive. But obviously he doesn't just die. We know that something's going to be happening. And by the title of the next issue, I would assume he gets swallowed whole. So we will see. After that is Blade, number 3. This one is, of course, it is written by, written by Brian Hill, penciled by Elena Casagrande with Valentina Pinti, inked by Elena Casagrande, Roberto Poggi, and Valentina Pinti, colored by KJ Diaz, and lettered by Corey Petit. So yes, we do get to see Blade negotiate out what it basically to get a new weapon to kill a god. And that, first of all, it made me very hungry, because I wanted some ramen really bad when this was happening. And also led to a pretty cool fight scene at the end that I really enjoyed. And it also, finally, the reveal of a new ally in this fight, possibly Doctor Strange. How much is he going to help? How much is he just going to scold Blade? We do not know. But if you're fighting a god, Doctor Strange is a good person to have on your side. So that brings me to, speaking of fighting a god, Immortal Thor number 2. That was an accident, by the way. Did not plan that. So Immortal Thor number 2. So, man, this book, it's 2 issues in and it's already so great and epic and just awesome. Like, man, Marvel's really, they have a hit on their hands with this book. So let's talk about it. Written by Al Ewing, drawn by Martin Kokolo, colored by Matt Wilson, and lettered by Joe Sabino. With Thor is fighting. So Thor is on Midgard and he is fighting an entity identified as Thor of Utgard. And he seems to have similar powers to Thor, but is obviously significantly larger. Now, what he does not have is the Odin Force, or the Thor Force, as it is known now. But when Thor taps into the Odin Force, it exhausts him, and he has to do the deep sleep, and he doesn't want to tap into it too much. He does end up using it quite a bit to the point that he does need to rest, and that leads him to lean on both the person he should trust the most and the person he should trust the least, his sibling Loki, with some amazing character designs in this issue. And just this amazing back and forth between the two of them that's just incredible, just quintessential. This does pair up really well with that Loki mini and the revelation of Loki maybe going back to being more of the god of lies again. We'll see. But, I mean, Loki is pretty honest with Thor in that basically, you know, he tells him his intentions for all intents and purposes. So I'm curious, but it's so good. Maybe we're going to have Thor in the Thor sleep. Is Loki going to take up the fight? Is Thor going to have dreams while in the Thor sleep? Is that what the issue is going to be? I don't know, but it's going to be great. After that is Avengers number 5, written by Jed McKay, art by Ivan Fiorelli, colored by Federico Bli, and lettered by Corey Petit. The Avengers continue fighting this group of incredibly powerful city slayers, is the word they use, the Ashen Combine, while Black Panther and Captain America are on board the ship and trying to disable the ship. They end up speaking with the ship and the ship reveals its truth to them. And it's really cool. I love the big climactic moment. It is a bit cheesy, but that's the Avengers. They're a bit cheesy where, you know, they're kind of given an easy out where it's just like, you know, hey, we're not an easy out because it's still not going to save them and their planet. But the ship basically is like, hey, I can do this if you want. And they just refuse to accept it. And that's the Avengers, man. So very cool. Really liking this. I love how epic this run has been. And with all the other things that King kind of teased at the beginning, with all these challenges they're going to have, I just can't wait to see what they're going to be. So next up is the final issue of Ultimate Invasion, number 4. This one sets up the whole new Ultimate Universe. And oh, man, I want to see how all in Marvel goes this time. Written by Jonathan Hickman, penciled by Ryan Hitch, inked by Andrew Curry, colored by Alex Sinclair, and lettered by Joe Caramagna. It's Howard Stark. It's up to Howard Stark to save everything from the Maker. And this involves, you know, how do I put this? It involves a very important decision, a very climactic decision that, short version, takes Howard out of the picture. And we are left with a new world where Tony is building his own suit and he finds, of all people, Captain America in the ice. So we are launching this new Ultimate Universe. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. But I'll be there. I'll be buying it and we'll be talking about it. After that is 2 chapters of Contest of Chaos, because I did not pick up X-Men Annual last week. I'll talk about it very briefly right now. Written by Paul Allure, art by Alessandro Miracolo, color by Annalisa Leone, and letter by Clayton Cowles. This one featured the fight between Cyclops and Captain Marvel, and proving once again something that is not talked about enough about with Cyclops amongst the fans, which is that Cyclops is a strategic genius. Even though he's very much overpowered by Carol, he finds a way to pull it out, and that's very Scott to me. So very cool. Scott wins, moves on to the final round, which brings us to Avengers Annual. This is the finale of the Contest of Chaos, written by Stephanie Phillips, art by Alberto Foce with Alvaro Lopez, color by Raul Angulo, and letter by Corey Petit. So the Avengers, the current Avengers crew, go to the Bermuda Triangle to confront Agatha and is confronted by her Dark Avengers. And they just have a really cool all-out brawl that's a lot of fun, all in an attempt to stop Agatha from recreating the Darkhold. In the end, they save the heroes and seemingly stop Agatha, but there's a really cool teaser at the end that I'm not going to reveal. You have to read it, find out for yourself. And what does that mean? What in the world is going to happen from there? I love Magic Marvel. I always have. So the potential where this is going to go is very, very positive. Now we're going to swing up into some high buildings for my only Spidey books of the week. Spidey book, I should say. Spider-Man India number 4. Written by Nikesh Shukla. Penciled by Tadam Gaju. Inked by Scott Hanna. Colored by Niraj Manon. And letter by Joe Caramagna. This is in the kind of aftermath of Spider-Man not wanting to insult himself, not wanting to post false videos about himself, which leads to him being in quite the bit of a pickle, stuck between two of his enemies, while at home. The neighborhood is realizing, you know, that as much as they might want to hate on Spider-Man, he did protect them quite a bit. And now that he's not there, one of the things is the corporations kind of have free reign. So very cool. I think this is the penultimate issue. I think there's one issue left. So been a great run. Now for some mutant books. X books on the way. First of all, X-Men Days of Future Past Doomsday number 3. This one is really, really good. Written by Mark Guggenheim, penciled by Manuel Garcia. Inked by Cam Smith, colored by Ian Nitro, and letter by Clayton Cowles. As their numbers are getting whittled down, one of the things that is really against the mutants in this story, of course, is that Rachel Summers is the mutant hound. She's controlled by Ahab, and he's using her to hunt down mutants because of her insane amount of powers. And that also involves her confronting the Fantastic Four and killing them, which is crazy because, of course, she's in love with Franklin Richards. That's his family. So this whole issue is kind of about Rachel and about getting Rachel free because she's such a strong force one way or the other. So I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. Obviously, everything's getting really grim for the mutants. But I mean, we all know how it ends. We all read the other books. So, but it's really cool. Another flashback tale is Storm number 5. This is a finale. Written by Ann Nocenti, art by Gerardo Borges, colored by Andrew Dawes, and letter by Ariana Mayer. I'm not going to jump too much into this. It does involve Storm making a final confrontation in this with how she's being lied to by this new guy that she really thought she loved, and doing so with Rogue at her side. Just really cool, really great. Just a nice little tidy flashback tale. Nothing I'm going to, you know, shout about or anything like that, but very good. Really enjoyed it. After that is Invincible Iron Man number 10. Yes, I have that in the X books, and I will for the foreseeable future. Written by Gary Duggan, art by Juan Frigeri, colored by Brian Valenza, letter by Joe Caramagna. This is Tony doing what he does best, pretend to be a complete mess in public while, you know, secretly being a badass. And it does kind of tie into the most recent issue of, I believe it was X-Men with Emma, where he ends up accidentally kind of proposing and they pivot and they make it work. And that leads to a really awesome moment where Emma and Tony go into Fei Long's head. And we get to see, like, even though they planned everything so well, like Orcus, that is, we get to see how flimsy their plan is and how easily it might be taken out. And I love this because it's Tony and Emma really taking the first shot, you know, back at Orcus after the gala. And we're going to start building towards this revenge tour, which I am here for. So very good. Next up is Jean Grey number 2, sort of a flashback tale like the other one has been, but it is tied into what's going on. So I think that's a really cool way they're doing it. Written by Louise Simonson, art by Bernard Chang, colors by Marcelo Maiello, and letter by Ariana Mayer. We go back to when Jean became the Dark Phoenix, and we ask, what if Wolverine became the Phoenix instead? And we get to see this play out with Wolverine with the Phoenix powers and Jean determined because of the new connection she has with them to do her best to save him or at least stop him. And of course, Scott not leaving her side, but there's this really like awkward, like intimacy she has with Logan now that makes everything with Scott very awkward. I really like it. I always liked Jean and Wolverine together, and I always like Scott and Emma. I'm that person. So, but really cool. And I love how this is playing with Jean having been killed at the Hellfire Gala, still having her own book, and definitely going to be leading to something that actually matters. So I really appreciate that about this book. Next up, Miss Marvel, the New Mutant number 2. This one is so much fun. I'm really digging it. Written by Iman Vellani and Sabir Prezada, art by Carlos Gomez and Adam Gorham, colored by Eric Arsenega, and letter by Jokar Magna. I will just say first that I love Kamala so much, and I really think that like her and Bruno are really meant to be. And one day when it does happen, I am going to celebrate. It's going to be fantastic. But with that being said, I love that a lot of this comic is about the fact that like Miss Marvel now has this mutant identity. And so much of what Miss Marvel has always been has been about living her truth, about living who she is. And she has to learn. It's not that easy living as a mutant, living openly as a mutant. There are people who want to kill you all the time. And I really like the complexity of it. And I love Emma trying her best to, like, you know, talk to her and kind of explain to her without being really mean Emma, which is really great. But yeah, you can't just walk around with a big X on your back and expect everything to be okay. And that's kind of mutant living in a nutshell. And seeing someone enter that is really interesting, a character that we actually care about already. So I really like this book. I think it's really good. And I love Kamala, so it's a great choice. Final book of the week is Realm of X number 2. This one is written by Torin Grønbech, art by Diogenes Nevis, colored by Rain Barreto, and letter by Clayton Cowles. With this team trapped in Vanaheim, being Magic Mirage, Typhoon Mary, Dust, Marrow, and Curse. Curse is missing, and everybody else is trying to look for her. Specifically, Magic, who has seemingly lost her powers. I love when mutants go magic. Like they've had a book like that in every phase of the Krakoan Age so far, so I'm really happy to have another one. And Torin is such a great next step after Teeny. I thought it's just a great natural successor to that. So really, really cool. I love this book. I really like it. I love the cast in general. I love Marrow getting a spotlight. I love what we're seeing from Typhoid Mary is really cool. And I love Magic being vulnerable. She's throughout the entire Krakoan Age has not been vulnerable. It's been very like, I'm a badass. So yeah, great book. I'm really enjoying it. A must purchase if you're an X-Men fan is what I would say. So yeah, that seems to be it for me here. So those are the issues that we had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz, and you can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast on Twitter. Make sure to follow us on there. It is the best way to keep up with us for now. As long as Twitter is still standing, I will be there. So make sure to follow us on there. It's the best way to keep track of the episodes. You'll get an actual tweet whenever a new episode comes out with timestamps for each publisher, a complete list of each issue reviewed, and a link directly to the episode. Make sure to follow our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. That is our musical playlist building show that is currently on hiatus, but will be returning soon with new episodes, I promise. So follow us once again at Jukebox Vertigo. And follow my co-host Josue, who is currently on hiatus, on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. That is his Twitch, where he plays Mario Kart, he plays a lot of Metal Gear, he plays a lot of stuff, and he always has a blast. And if he's on, I'm usually on with him. So make sure to check that out. Finally, make sure to check out Jukebox Vertigo's network, Certain POV, at certainpov.com, and Certain POV Media on Twitter. Make sure to join the Discord. Both of those have a link to the Discord, and we have a blast. We've been having a lot of newcomers there, and it's just a safe place to talk about what you love with people who, trust me, we want to talk about it too. So make sure to join us on there. All are welcome, as long as you aren't a dick. That being said, don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, talking about Superman.
Oh, cool. I could talk about Superman.
I could talk some more about Superman.
We know.
I'll bet a few people would want to get in on this.
I'm down.
You know it.
That sounds like fun. I'll do it.
Cool. Let's do it. We can call the show Men of Steel.
And you can find it at certainpov.com.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay.